You know, when you come to the Word of God, sometimes you ask yourself, Lord, where do I begin? Where do I end? And you ask God this simple question to yourself, Holy Spirit, make me a blessing. Lord, help me to be at unity with myself, with my brothers and sisters, and wherever I go in the world today. Last week we looked at a sinner saved in Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. And Paul is writing this. He's saying, look, you know what you were before. You know what he did, Christ did to you. And it's interesting that in the aorist tense, we talked about that last week, that we are seated with Christ in the heavenlies. In the aorist tense, it has the idea of something that happened in the past, but continues today. Christ died for our sins. Aorist tense, past. He has died for our sins. Okay? Nothing can change that. He doesn't have to die again like some religions teach. And this is where I get into the unity of the body of Christ, because there are so many people today, our thoughts, our ideologies, our philosophies are pulling you, trying to disrupt your walk with Christ as you walk with him. And it doesn't stop. So we need to fight back in the Spirit, because it's only the Spirit of God that can help us. Because there's a lot of deceptions today. There's a lot of evil going on. There's a lot of power grabs and a lot of confusing things going on in the world today. And we need to pray for our children as well, growing up, because they have enough on their plate. And thank God for godly mothers and daddies and for grandparents and loved ones. And thank God for the examples that we have, godly examples here today. So we need to have unity in the body. And I thought, well, back in those days, you know, how tough was it? Well, it is like today, like we have churches in this community, Roman Catholic belief is you get to heaven by sacraments. You don't believe me? Go down there and talk to the priest. Give the Catholic Church a call. I'm not bashing churches here. It's everywhere. You go out in the country, Catholic churches are there. I'm not bashing Catholics. What I don't like is the doctrine. Back in the 16th century, you had the Pope who stated right there in his council, you cannot be saved by faith. You have to be saved by what? Sacraments. And you have the Hebrew Roots movement. It's the same way. It's a work salvation. You know, and we'll get into that in a minute, but that's growing as well. And other movements that speak of a works salvation. Our works come after we get saved to glorify God. Simple as that. So as moving on here, Paul writes to the churches of Ephesus, and he's giving them some doctrinal issues that we need to keep in purpose in our lives here, as we've looked at in the past couple of weeks. One of them, of course, is soteriology, which means the study of salvation or salvation. So now, since you have both Jews and Gentiles getting saved, and of course, we looked at this last week. Of course, we're all adopted into God's family. We're all adopted children. We all come from different backgrounds, different faiths, and so on and so forth. But I like what, before I start, I like what Martin Luther had to say about this. And he said, I ask that men make no reference to my name, that I call themselves not Lutherans, but Christians. What is Luther, he says, my doctrine, I am sure, is not mine, nor have I been crucified for any of one. St. Paul, 1 Corinthians 3, would not allow Christians to call themselves Pauline or Petrine, but Christian. Remember, Paul rebuked the church there. He says, I'm glad I baptized none of you, because you're all saying I'm of this teacher, that teacher, and the other teacher. And he goes on to say, he says, "For that I am, I come to have men give me the children of Christ and the name derived from my worthless name." No, no, Luther says, "My dear friends, let us abolish all party names and call ourselves Christians after whom, whose doctrine we have." And I have others, but I don't have time to mention it. So when you get to heaven, like one evangelist told my youth group years ago, you get to heaven, God will have a giant wheelbarrow there. And you'll take off all those different denominations. And, you know, when you're saved, you're saved. God calls you. You respond by faith and you confess the Lord Jesus Christ. And God systematically, through the Holy Spirit, justifies you, sanctifies you, baptizes you in the Spirit, and you are Christ. And, of course, we know that the Bible is not from any private interpretation, but as holy men were moved by God. So there's a lot of points here. What I'm trying to say, there's a lot of things that can pull you away from the truth. And he makes it very simple here. But it was difficult back in the day. Verse 11 says, "Therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision." And what circumcision was is it's just a mark on the foreskin. And they were saying, okay, if you have that mark, you are a Jew as well as a Christian. There was the Judaizers that were going around. The Judaizers were saying, which that meaning is to come according to the Jewish customs. They wanted you to do all those things, the outward parts of you, to show that you were a Christian and you were a Jew as well. And so it's a work salvation is all it was. It says, called, and he says here, "Who are called uncircumcision, by whom what is called circumcision made in the flesh by hands." So Paul is saying, look, there's a great confusion going on right now. You got some people there that were Jews who got converted. And I could say I was an Episcopal and I was converted. And Christ saved me from the Episcopal doctrine. Now, there are some good Episcopal churches that have broken away from the mainline denomination like any other big mainline denomination. But this is what they had to go through. This is the hatred that is caused between different religions today. And they had to deal with it then between Jew and Gentile. Background, it says Israel was supposed to live and act so that others would come to know God. For the Jewish believer, this is so important because we all, I'm not saying we're Jewish, I'm saying we're all from different backgrounds. We've been adopted in the family of God. But the Israel was supposed to make it inviting for everyone, the Gentiles as well. Say, well, I hardly read that in the Bible from what I could understand. They're always like, you know, the apple of God's eyes, God's people. And I hope that's not true today with people here today, and I don't think so. Israel became prideful and isolated and self-satisfied. So that was their downfall. It got so bad that both Jews and Gentiles hated each other. The Jews believed, and this is in the historical records, that Gentiles were used for fuel for hell. Jewish mothers despised Gentile mothers and refused to help them in birth. This is how crazy it got. You know, you want to talk about demarcation line. Oh, and then you were supposed to shake off the dust of the feet, not to contaminate the Holy Land. So in other words, if you went into a Gentile nation and you walked through there, you'd have to, before you could come back to your land as a Jew, you would have to shake off the dust off your feet or wash your feet because you didn't want to contaminate it. That's how much hatred there was. And to marry a Gentile would be like going to a funeral service. I'm like, oh boy, you know, who'd want to live like that? Judaism, you had to become a Jew to be saved. So they're saying you had to come to the Jewish faith, you know, instead of pointing to God and what he stood for and his commands, they went the other direction. And of course, the list goes on and on. So the Gentiles that were coming in with the Jews had a big problem, big dilemma. What are we going to do about this? Well, I love what the Holy Spirit does through the written word of God. And so Romans chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says this, and 28 and 29 says, "For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is an outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is inwardly in circumcision that is of the heart and the spirit, not in the letter. His praise is not from men, but unto God." So when Jesus came, that broke down all the barriers. Christ fulfilled every single prophecy, every law. He became sin so that, what? We didn't have to live under the law anymore. It's completely, we are free in Christ. Easier said than done. Now go out and live the Christian life, right? It's been hard, hasn't it? When you really put your feet to the ground and you want to walk like Christ, you want to talk like Christ, it's a totally different situation. So, moving on here, so we see that what the Gentiles and the Jews were. And he goes on to say that, so as to create in himself a new man from two, and thus making peace. So, there were the laws and there were the ordinances. And when Christ came, he took care of that. Do you realize there were 630 ordinances that you had to live by? Crazy enough, there were the feasts that you had to keep, you had to go to. And by the way, if you want to go with some of these cults nowadays, they will teach you that. It's different sacrifices, different offerings, different laws. And by the way, cleanliness too. For the Jewish priest, for example, you think sometimes kids think church is boring sometimes. I'm just trying to tell you because I used to be a kid. I used to sit in church. And every service was repetitious. Repetitious. You did the same thing. The same works. But through the Spirit of Christ, kids, remember this. Christ can teach you something if you open your heart to him. Okay? So I'm not trying to lead you astray, but I'm saying how ridiculous it got for these priests, and they even practice it today. Before you could sit down to eat, you had to ceremoniously cleanse all the dishes. Now, if I was over there, I wouldn't expect somebody to do that for me. No. But they had to re-clean, they had to clean everything over again. Imagine sitting down, wanting to eat, and mom would say, "No, we can't do that. We got to clean everything again. You got to redo everything twice. And by the way, you got to wash your hands down to your elbow, and you need to make yourself clean." All these were just laborious things that it's just like, oh, come on. But they did that because man has a problem. Mankind. It's called pride. He wants to look good. He wants to add all these things on. So what? He's in control. And that's exactly how they were controlling things. Now let me fast forward. You end up getting saved. You come to a church in Ephesus. And you have all this baggage on you. And unfortunately, today, some Christians still carry that baggage with them. Just let it go. You know? You don't have to be like a pilgrim in progress. Remember carrying that heavy load around with them all the time? You don't have to. Just let it go with Christ. Yes, there'll be trials. Yes, there'll be tribulations. Yes, there'll be temptations. But that's part of life, right? It should make you strong. Make you strong. Well, so you have to have a good foundation. And so you had people that were all caught up in this problem of works. So this is what God did here. It says here that, "But now in Christ Jesus, you were once far off and have been brought near with the blood of Christ. So he's saying, hey, everything that goes on. Hey, think about Genesis. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. What we call the Abrahamic covenant. And that was given, and it says in Genesis 12, 2 and 3, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And by the way, we need to pray for the nation of Israel. We need to pray that as a nation, we bless Israel, that God does not turn his hand against our nation, or else we're in trouble. And then you, all the families of the earth, shall be blessed. So as time goes on, you have the church being incorporated here for salvation. It wasn't just Israel. Israel had alienated itself. Israel had committed fornication, idolatry, spiritual adultery with God. Now, Israel's not out of the way. Of course, after the rapture happens and the church is taken up, God's plan of salvation will go to Israel. And for those who call upon the Lord, will be saved. So, says here that we are brought near by the blood of Christ, verse 14, chapter 2. For he himself is our peace and has made both one. So we are one in Christ with the peace of Christ that passeth all understanding. We need that peace today. And then we see here in our lives that and has broken down the middle wall of separation. Christ has made this church to be at peace with itself. The problem was is they were looking at a temple at that time. Ephesus was alive and well. Ephesus was a pagan country. Their big worship was with Diana, which was a perverted way of worshiping all kinds of things. But you had also in Jerusalem, they remember, you still had that temple that was set up. And when Paul mentions here the middle wall of separation, it was broken up until you had different courts. Now hear me, because this is important, because we're Gentiles. You could come into that temple through one of the gates and you were in the court of the Gentiles. Okay? Well, I would really like to see, and I'm sure we've all been on tours, we've gone visited places, and we're, you know, the curiosity has gotten the kids too, because the kids, right? They got to touch things. They got to look at things. They got to touch things. Nothing wrong with that. It's all part of being a creative mind. Be creative, okay? Problem is, in the world today, people aren't creative anymore. So, you're like, okay, well, what's past this next wall I go to? Well, that was the court of women. And for Jewish women. And there was a sign there saying, if you went past this wall, and they were thinking of this in the back of their mind, you would be put to death, because guess what? You're a Gentile and you're unclean, and we Jews are such a prideful bunch. We think we're God's chosen, which they were, but they just threw everything out of place and they got it all wrong before God. God was not happy with them. You could go through the court of men, which was next after the court of women, which were Jewish people, and then you had the last two courts where the Levitical priesthood was, and then you had the Holy of Holies, that one last building that you walk through. But they couldn't get to that. Thank God we have Jesus Christ, right? And we would be lost. And, so he has broken down that middle wall of separation that keeps us from God. Having abolished in the flesh enmity, that means you're making war with, you're fighting against. He did away with that. That is the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two and making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross. So God brings together and putting to death the enmity. God has taken everything that has kept us from him and has brought us to him. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. In other words, Christ spoke to us. Listen to me now. There are some people that were so far away in their hearts. Have we struggled with that this week? Have we struggled with our, you know, minds are focused on the Lord, but our hearts are so far? You know, God's saying there are people who honor me with their lips, but their hearts are so far away. You know, we just at times, you know, we have to open up ourselves and say, Lord, I got to deal with this. I got to deal with that. So, for through him, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. So the good news, both Jew and Gentile can come to know the Lord. It was as simple as that. And we want to have unity. This is important. Saying, what happened to the title of the message? Well, I'm getting to that because you have to understand the background where these people were coming from. And we have more problems with disunity than we ever have. We're having more of the haves and we have more of the have-nots. We're coming into a two-class society. People are starting to hear more and more complaining about food prices and everything going up. And the products are getting smaller, right? Even the brown paper bags, you go to the store, they're shrinking. I told my wife the other week, I said, in 6 months, they have shrunk down to a third. No kidding. And I had a couple bags. I said, look, isn't that amazing? That's what happens when you have a socialistic society. It takes a no-brainer. And pray for the people in Venezuela. They're having that dictator, and he's already made sides and inroads with their Supreme Court. And they were saying, sure, we'll take you, you know, as being another dictator for so many years. And now they have martial law where people will be executed on spot in Venezuela or they'll be arrested. And then what happens? They disappear. But that's what happens, people. When we give up our rights, you got to fight for them. And so, you had Caesars in that day. They understood what it was like in that church. They were like, we got to be careful where we step because we not only have the Jewish, the religious people, and my pastor used to call them the religious people, not necessarily Hindus and Muslims, but people who call themselves Christians the enemy, who have this false doctrine. Like I was telling people in Sunday school, I said, I could understand what one person said, you know, I wish I'd never been to church because for years I didn't believe until Christ saved me. But they only went there twice, Christmas and Easter, and they didn't like it at all. And they said, you know, I wish I had never gone to church at all. But God uses things, amen. He uses things to bring people to Christ. And there's a lot of false doctrine. Oh, it may look nice, the building beautiful, the grounds, the people wonderful, the music wonderful. Oh boy, when that preacher preaches, man, I got my back up straight. Oh boy, so much fun. But you know what? It's all about the doctrine. It's about the Spirit. It's about the Word of God and the love of Christ that He has for us. So He's making a new man from two, thus making peace, both Jew and Gentile, and that He might reconcile them both to God into one body through the cross, putting the death, the enmity, and came to preach peace to you who were far off and that were near. And to him, we both have access to one Spirit and the Father. When it comes to unity, Psalms 133 says, behold how good and how pleasant is for brothers to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head coming down upon the beard, even Adam's beard, coming down upon the edge of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon coming down upon the mountain of Zion, where there is the command, the blessings forever. So God wants to tell us, He wants to say this to us now. He wants to pour His blessings upon us and help us. Romans 12:16, but be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. There's so many people today are so heavenly minded and no earthly good. You know, I've seen Christians time and time again in my past years, and so have you, that think that they're something when they're nothing. They're nothing apart from the grace of God. And yet, but the problem is not that God has made into something great, is that they haven't given God the glory. And they're all about themselves. Romans 15, 5 and 6, now may the God who gives you perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify God your Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our emphasis means is to glorify God. So am I loving the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind? Am I loving my neighbor as myself? That's a pretty big bite to bite off of. I would suggest here today just take little bites, little nibbles, and chew on it for a while and let it digest and let it taste and see that the Lord's good. 1 Corinthians 1:10 says, and I exhort you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree, that there be no divisions among you, be made a complete in the same mind and the same judgment. You can agree to disagree. Look, we have people coming here and coming and going all the time. I'm praying for the people who go, who never come back. I'm saying, Lord, I just pray that these people will have the heart and mind of Christ, that Lord, that they will thoroughly check the doctrine of that church. They will thoroughly check out, Lord, is this where you want me to be or not? So that's between you and the Lord. And then, of course, Philippians 1:27 says, only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come to see you or remain absent, I will hear of you, and you are standing firm in one spirit and one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Striving means to work together or be in a contest or competition. But this has the idea of a team working together for victory. We're working together. You know, we live in a very competitive society. And for us to have unity, look, it's one thing watching the Olympics. I'm talking about the good stuff on there, where we won medals, where we did good things. Forget about the politics of it. It was disgusting in the opening. But you had people who trained, who worked hard, who worked at it every day. And to become a good runner, you have to run every day. To be a good bike, to ride a good bike, you have to ride a bike every day. But, you know, you concentrate on this and you're committed and you realize that you're going to take care of you and the ones around you. You're in this together. And if things got really bad here, like it could have been in Ephesus for these Jews and Gentiles, they could have come in and arrested them. Look what happened to Paul and Silas. They were arrested. They were thrown in jail. Why? Because they went around and said, repent, repent. And for us to have unity in our church, we need to repent and pray that God will continue to build us up in Christ Jesus, that we will be more like Christ. Repent, repent, yes. And then, of course, they were arrested. Because the only time I'd say, and according to Scripture and God's standard, for you to disregard the government's way, which you have in Romans 13, is only if they go against God. Only if they go against God's word. That is the only time you can tell those in authority, no, I will do everything you tell me to do, but I will not say no to the Lord Jesus Christ. I will do what he tells me to do. You can arrest me, whatever. And there are Christians today who've been arrested, churches, pastors, lay people have been arrested right while service is going on because they believe. And they said no to the government. There are pastors in jail up in Canada, pastors in Europe, all around the world, they're in jail. Even here in the United States, there's a couple pastors that are still in jail in Philadelphia because they were out there street preaching saying, God hates the sin, but he loves the sinner. He's talking about the gay life. Gay life. He says, it's just wrong, people, repent, repent. Well, I got some people upset because they liked their positions in office and they wanted to keep their positions and make sure it was okay for everybody to like one another. And you know, we're looking at the woke philosophy today that is so extreme that people are in jail now because they may agree with it, or they're going there eventually. So, had all this going on within the church in Ephesus, different people from different places, and then also you had the world and what they expected. So Satan, if he had his way, he would have just shut everything down. So that's it. Shut the churches down. He tried. He tried. But he was not successful because, thank God, churches continue to grow through persecution. And they do it to this day. China is the fastest growing church in the world. And why? Because of persecution. They tried to pervert the Bible by rewriting the Bible, and that didn't work either. And people are like, no, we're going to fight back. And you cannot lose your salvation. You can't take my salvation. And take a stand, like it says in Ephesians chapter 6. Do all that you can do. Take a stand. And put on the armor of God. Verse 19 says this: Now therefore, you are no longer strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens and saints. One translation calls them, you're no more common people. Used to be back in King James times, you were called commodores. In other words, you had the elite and you had the common folk. And, you know, you had that two-class society. But the Bible is saying here, you're no longer that. You are seated in the heavenlies with Christ already positionally, again, in that aorist tense that happened in the past when Christ died on the cross. We're saved. We already have a position in heaven. So that's our heavenly position. We have our earthly position here today. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we want to live as Christ wants us to live every day. So we're no longer strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation. And remember that the apostles and the prophets and Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Anybody knows who's built a home knows that you need to have a cornerstone. Of course, after you have to get all your permits and everything else to build a house. Once they okay it, the city does, or whoever it is, when you start building a foundation, you have to have that cornerstone. And it has to be unmovable. So there's one mason showed me, he says, you have to pour in concrete, you know, make sure you level everything out, and make sure everything's just right, and then you put into your corner foundation. From there, you build. Jesus is our cornerstone. He's our support, and he gives us direction. No matter which way we go out from that cornerstone in life, he gives us direction. And on top of that foundation, we have living stones, like it says in 1 Peter. You're living stones unto Christ. As the idea of building wasn't necessarily cinder blocks, but it was stones. That's all they had. Unless you were very rich, then you could buy whatever you wanted. In whom the whole building is fitly together, grows into a holy temple. It's a organic, it's a living thing. This idea of being fitted together and growing. So each one of us is part of that foundation that builds up the house of God. We're all here. And it's so important that we don't have cracks. Nothing worse than having a flooded basement, right? Because maybe the building inspector didn't do it right. We had a bad rain. Stuff happens, right, to us all. So what we have to do is make sure it's done right the first time. So it's fitted together, grows into a holy temple, which obviously we're the body of Christ, and Christ is what is the head. I'll tell you what, without the head, the body can't do much, right? It's just as well be, you know, dead. But you have a head, which is Christ, that makes us alive unto him. That we can function. We can move. I'll guarantee some of us this morning didn't want to get out of bed. Some of us this morning were so tired. It's just like, I can barely stay awake. It's hard enough to stay awake now. You know, and that's the way it is. So we are that building. They knew that they could all be fitted in together, both Jew and Gentile, into one body. And just like as we are today, we have people, nurses, engineers, we have people from different farmers, different people from different backgrounds. I don't have time to get into all that, but it's so important that we all work together in the Lord, in whom also you being built together for the dwelling place of God and the Spirit. So God wants us to, one, when we build in our church, that Christ would be permanent. He would be there first. You probably all heard this recently in the news down in Florida. In Florida, there is a mass selling off of condominiums. And this all happened here down in a couple years ago with a condominium collapsing in Surfside, Florida. When nearly 100 people were killed. And out of nowhere, you look at from the 12th floor down, it looks like the side of the building just came off. And you see all the rooms where people lived at. And I was like, how did that ever happen? Did they have an earthquake? Who knew? I don't know. So I did a little bit more digging into it. Well, out of these 130 units, 55 collapsed. And because of that, at the base of the building, there was a pool. All right, everybody likes to go swimming, right? Especially in Florida where you have a high humidity or whatever. Swimming's a good thing. But 40 years later, I remember back in the 70s and the 60s, it was a big thing to purchase condominiums. I'll never forget that growing up. And, you know, invest in condominiums and make a lot of money. Okay, I had a relative of mine lived there for years, my great-grandmother. So what happened was after 40 years, you had water started seeping down from the pool into these strong iron structures that were supporting up the whole building. And over time, because of water and because they did not properly do the right things when they had the building inspectors to come, they did not check down there where the garage was. It was always wet. And then one day after 40 years, they're saying that these gave way, these main structures. Because you had a space like this under the pool here, and then you had the it was either the front or back side of the building collapse. And now the company owes like $1.2 billion because of people's negligence. Now people are selling off these condominiums like crazy. What am I trying to tell you? Something you could read in the news, right? Is that without a strong foundation in Christ, your life, my life, will collapse. We will collapse. Now, look, I'm not talking about people who have cancer, people who have had bypasses, things like that. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Those are natural occurrences because of sin. Hurricanes, wildfires, that's the curse that we live in. Okay, if you build a home, watch out. If it's very dry, it could be tender dry. Some teenagers are out there in California, this is a couple of weeks ago, lighting off fireworks, bottle rockets. And, of course, the police call. I mean, what are they thinking? Of course, teenagers don't think sometimes. But God is saying, look, you need a firm foundation that we have in the Lord. Martin Luther said that when he penned that song, a firm foundation. To keep our unity together, we need to keep that doctrine, the Word of God, pure in our lives and let that living water that flows from the throne of God reach us, spiritually speaking, so we can drink thereby all the time. It's always there. He never leaves us. It's usually the other way we leave Him. So the Jews and the Gentiles, they were thinking, okay, we have our disagreements. We can agree to disagree with things, certainly, and it did take time for them to get through all these customs the Jews did. But in the body of Christ, we don't have to live by sacraments. We don't have to live by different customs and so on and so forth. Customs are okay, in a sense. Don't let them rule you. Because some people say, I don't see anything wrong with customs we have at our church. Okay. But put Christ first. Keep that foundation first. Because those customs can easily eat away your foundation. Check your foundation today. Be that inspector, that building inspector. Check it today. Because Satan doesn't work overnight. No, he's a deceiver. He's a manipulator. He's a liar. He's a cheater. He's the worst thing. He's the worst. He comes in. He does a little bit at a time. Oh, you're okay. Yeah, I'm okay. Oh, you're okay. And years go by. 40 years later, the bottom falls out. Say, what happened? Because there was no firm foundation. And I think that's all I need to say here. So pray today that we'll stay unified with a strong foundation in Christ and be thankful. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this day you've given us. Thank you that we can rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for what you have given us that, Lord, you can easily take away. And Lord, we thank you for all the blessings, our clothes on our back, baths, showers, roof over our head, cars to drive, all the comforts of life. But what about our spiritual side? Do we have that firm foundation? Are we checking our roots? It's like when the storms pass by a tree and the banks start to wear out and the roots are exposed. That's dangerous for a tree. Help us, Lord, to plant good roots of your word. Lord, we thank you for your sovereignty, but help us to make good choices. We do have a free will. We thank you for those who have called upon the Lord by faith, believed in their salvation. What a beautiful gift. It's something that, and I know it's real in my life and our lives by faith, but it's something unless you read out of a storybook, but it's not. It's the truth. Big difference between fables and the truth. And you're 100% truth. And, you know, if we had an opportunity, we could worship you all day long and never get tired of doing it. All the blessings you have for us and it's here on earth and as well as in heaven. And thank you, Lord, like it says in Revelation, there's two places. One I can rejoice in, a place that will be forever and ever. It says that in Revelation chapter 21. And in Revelation 20, it says a place that's forever, forever and ever. The first place to think of, I mentioned, was heaven. It will be a place there forever and ever for those who believe upon you. There's another place that's forever and ever, and that's called hell. There's two choices a person makes. And I pray today, it's either Christ is your Savior, there's no other way, no way that man can come unto the Father, but yet through the Son. And Lord, we just pray that people will get saved. And we keep hanging on by faith and through your grace. And we hold on to the cross. And we thank you for that. And we just pray that there are sins in our lives. We'll confess them and get them right. And pray to Lord, continue to bless and continue to work on us to make us stronger. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.